It's a little bit after 4 p.m. here on KDNK, and you are tuned to Everything Under the Sun, a little half-hour news segment with the staff of the Soper Sun and sometimes guests, and probably our last one. I think KDNK has a few other plans in the works, and the Soper Sun has a few plans in the works, and I guess we have an announcement, as Gavin so teased it, so I'll let Megan Tackett, our reporter, go ahead and make that, if she is so inclined.
Hi, everybody. So, really bittersweet, but very transitional. I am actually moving out of my reporter role with a Soper Sun. I have accepted another offer up Valley. I'll be the senior courts reporter for the Aspen Daily News starting July 15th. So I'm hoping that that means a continued relationship with the radio station anyway, for if I end up reporting on anything particularly interesting that's really relevant to listeners, then I hope that I'll still be in the family. but it's a very bittersweet time for sure, because, you know, when you close one door and open another, you get really excited about one, but it's difficult to overstate how much I adore the Soper Sun and my time here and the relationship that it's fostered for me personally with the community as well. So and this is our just hearing you say it's probably the last Everything Under the Sun. It's really becoming real now.
Really? It wasn't real before that? Next week's your next last week, Megan. You're going to have a byline in the Aspen Daily News in 2 weeks.
Shh, I'm not ready.
I guess not.
I'm not ready. It's not real yet. It's not real.
Steve Standiford is hanging out in the hall.
Steve, we're saying hi to you.
He can't hear us. He can hear us. He's responding.
I heard a rumor that I get to host him tomorrow in my last Express Yourself.
Makes sense. You got some Mount Soper's Music Fest conversation to have. Mm-hmm. Then we don't need to drag him in here right now.
I mean, we could, but I am going to drag him in again tomorrow.
Okay. So that's the big announcement. You can see the ad for our replacement reporter in this week's Soper Sun.
Yes, on page 5. It looks great.
Yeah, we're working prominently to fill some gaps in. We also have a new ad person, who Todd Chamberlain, who you might know, a big community member, who will be sort of introducing to the community that doesn't already know him over the next couple weeks. He is out of town, so he might phone in, or you might have to meet him some other way. Hey, Gavin. No, he's not here. This is all a lie. And then Elise Golden, our newish production person, was maybe going to join us, but I guess didn't make it either. It is the 4th of July, Independence Day, as I think Gavin's show was meant to indicate and play with a little bit.
So. Yeah. I snuck off to Dinkle Lake earlier today, and it was a lot of fun driving down, and the scenery was amazing and beautiful, and listening to that particular curation of music, it was good. It was a really nice experience. So thanks for that, Gavin.
So, okay, so we have half an hour to talk here, and we don't want to just, talk about personnel, but I'm curious, Megan, since I've got you here sort of as my guest, what have you've it's been not quite 2 years, mm-hmm. With the paper, mm-hmm. What has stood out for you? Are there stories that made an impression? I mean, you had sort of a journalistic training heading into this and some magazine experience, mm-hmm. but working for a weekly was kind of new, right?
Yeah, no, it was completely new. I thought about it. It has been just under 2 years staff. And then I think if you add my freelancing days onto that, it's just over 2 years. So it's mm-hmm. fun deciding how you want to cut it, yeah. Right? The weekly thing is amazing, and I'm sure I'm going to miss it when all of a sudden I'm on the daily and deadline day is every day.
Yeah, you have fun with that.
Right?
I do not miss it. No offense, Post Independent.
Yeah, and I've slowly been getting, I don't know why, you would think that I don't love deadlines, but I'm just like embracing them more and more over the trajectory, because yeah, I come from a magazine background where it's like, oh, we've got a quarterly deadline, and then it was a monthly deadline, and then it was a weekly deadline. Now I'm like, sure, daily, right in the name, why not? But no, I really love the weekly model. Because I think it's the perfect, you know, overlap in that Venn diagram, right? You still get to be timely, right? You still get to sometimes be right on, oh, this breaking news thing is happening, and it's a Wednesday morning or a Tuesday night, and we can still really, really be at the forefront of that conversation. Sometimes, as you know all too well, it's the opposite, right? And that breaking news happened on Thursday when our, you know, paper just went to the streets, and it's like, oh man, what are the dailies going to do with this?
Well, sure. So, you know, a perfect example is this current edition. I'm sure there's somebody out there who picked up the paper today and went, why is there no 4th of July stuff in the 4th of July edition? Well, it hadn't happened when we went to print. I'm always a little chagrined at the folks who call me up about things that happen, you know, hey, can we get this in this week's paper? This week's paper is already on stands.
Yeah.
I don't know how you expect me to do that. I mean, maybe in the digital era, that'll be a,
right.
The fully digital era, that'll be a thing. Or, you know, J.K. Rowling's Wizarding World, you can probably update the Daily Prophet as it's on the stands, but not something we have the capability to do. Flip side, you know, we weren't the breaking news for the Lake Christine fire this time last year, but we were definitely all over it. We were one of the first teams on scene. Mm-hmm. We were up late. Katie and Kay was up real late.
Shout out to Rowley. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So, and I, you know, I think that a lot of the other institutions around have acknowledged that anniversary. Technically, I guess yesterday is the anniversary of it actually starting, but boy, the 4th of July was when it really, really got cranking up. And mm-hmm. when it really scared a lot of people and when it caused the most damage. So let's all keep that in mind, folks. I can't do calls to action, but I can say kind of as I did last year that I would personally very much appreciate not having things on fire if we can at all avoid it.
Yeah, the wife of the firefighter really would appreciate it if things were not on fire this year.
Yeah, there's an even a secondary aspect there. But sort of getting back to the stories that stood out for you. I mean, I know the first one when you were freelancing that stood out to me.
Which one was that?
That was Shaw Lewis.
Oh, yeah, Shaw. Oh, man. That one really stood out to me as well, too, because it was... You know, I was freelancing, right? And I was pretty new to the community as well. And when you're talking to a widow about her recently deceased husband in a coffee shop, very publicly, right? I didn't have the benefit of having an office to kind of create that sort of safe space, as it were. And, you know, it's always a journalistic question, for me anyway, when you're trying to do a very sensitive interview with somebody that's experiencing grief. It's worth noting you're asking a lot of that person, and how much do you offer back and still maintain this unbiased, I'm the reporter simply reporting what was told to me and what my research reflects. And still maintain a safe barrier for yourself, too, so that you're able to act in a professional capacity. But that was a story that I was new to the community, and I was on the phone with this woman, and I was just crying in the middle of the coffee shop because it felt wrong to do anything else. Mm-hmm. She was so forthcoming about her experience to somebody that she was talking to on the phone she had never met. I didn't have a staff byline, so I didn't even have that credibility at that point. Mm-hmm. And yet she was so gracious and graceful, and I was just in awe of her willingness to share with me. And and then follow up on that, and you want to see, anytime you have the opportunity to get more voices, you always take a lot of responsibility in stewarding other people's stories, but especially posthumously. Mm-hmm. And then to go to the Waldorf school and speak with his former colleagues, you need to go to Ross Montessori and speak with his former colleagues and, you know, hear their perspectives. And again, more tears, but now they're in person. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting in this room with these people, and there's this moment that it's the unspoken thing, but after they've shared with you like that, it's the, and you know this, you've done this as well, but it's, you'd better do a good job.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Not that they're going to tell you if you don't, but mm-hmm. they might not like look at you the same way when you pass them on the street when you're in a small
exactly.
town. You gotta factor that in.
Exactly. So yeah. And I remember that story stuck with me too. I will admit I was caught speeding on 82 sometime later and got pulled over, and, Oh man, I was more aggressive about pulling over than I had ever been in my entire life. I even like was like letting him know, I'm like, I'm not trying to like, you know, leave you or mm-hmm. resist anything here. I'm not comfortable with the space I've left you, and I need mm-hmm. to pull over more because that story was still haunting me. And of course, that's how mm-hmm. Shaw passed away. He was being pulled over and somebody else, a passerby in traffic, hit him.
Yep.
And so I even in your day-to-day life, those kinds of stories stick with you and leave an impression.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if we didn't as journalists sort of change our behaviors and our attitudes based on what we encounter, I drive like an old lady on the highway.
Right.
Dirt might be a different matter, but where the stakes are high and there's a lot of other people around and... The number of, I remember Tracy Truelove taking me on a tour through the tunnel, the Hanging Lake tunnels, and then them pulling up video of all of the pileups on some of the reverse curves in the Glenwood Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And these were the only ones they were allowed to show me were the ones that didn't end in fatality. So, and still, it's just car after car coming around the curve too fast and plowing into the last one in a blind corner. I drive, actually, you know what, I'm sorry, that's probably a stereotype. I'm sure there are old ladies out there who are much more aggressive and assertive drivers than I am.
Having ridden with you, I agree with that.
Yeah, but in the Glenwood Canyon, I'm pretty cautious.
Yeah, you have to be. Yeah, I think in terms of other stories that I look back on, and this is really a shout out to you, I really appreciate as an editor you letting me run with stories that I want to run with most of the time and being able to balance angles in the newsroom and kind of discuss like, oh, wait, no, this is a better way of discussing this. Or have you thought about approaching this source to get this story? And that's been really, really rewarding. And I will admit when I was sending Aspen Daily News a couple of clips, I said something like, you know, oh, and you can look at my kind of sustained coverage of immigration issues here, 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 and here, right? And it really goes to show that even when you're a weekly nonprofit Carbondale paper that is hyper-local in its coverage, because of this community, there are so many opportunities to take an event. And if you wanted to just preview the event, you could just preview that event. But there were so many opportunities to take events that were trying to raise awareness about the immigration issue and really run with that and get state level and national voices as well, all hinging off of something that was happening locally. So it's been very cool, quote unquote. It's been rewarding to be able to report on a community like Carbondale that has those kinds of events that, yes, we're doing hyper-local coverage, but that doesn't mean that we don't have a place in national dialogue. And that's been something that when I look back on my reporting, I'm proud of.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's the immigration focus. You've been, you've done quite a few stories on that. You know, the wage gap was one that you mm-hmm. tackled. but on the immigration one, you know, you mentioned events, but I remember again, this time last year, dealing with ICE at the evacuation centers.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this sort of weird, I mean, in a small town, right? So you're talking to somebody who was turning away sheriff's deputies at an evac center who 9 months earlier, shortly after you were hired, you were interviewing because of their moderation of a Facebook group.
Yes.
we all have many different hats, and it's sometimes fun to come back around to people from different angles, catch them participating in a play this week and... organizing a charity event the next week.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different facets. So I don't want to undersell, and maybe you can speak to whether there were any not hard news, not big national news stories that stuck out to you that just had something human in them.
I think when I look back on stories like that, that it's just like, you know, they're still weighty, but it's very, very local and it's weighty to the people immediately involved in them. I remember reading, and sorry, PI, I know you're doing your job, but this is the benefit of a weekly versus a daily. I remember reading a headline that the gist of it was basically Carbondale homeless man found dead in a tent.
Mm-hmm.
And my cockles just sort of shriveled a little bit. And then, and I knew then that I was hoping to be able to sort of reverse scoop that and give a bit of a more human angle. And then the town came to me, right? Tommy, a friend of the deceased of the same name, mm-hmm. walked into our office carrying a note that he had written to his deceased friend on a blank receipt paper and just didn't even know. He didn't even know at the time that there was a potential for a full story. He was just hoping, hey, I've got a letter to the editor. Mm-hmm. And I also want people to know that my friend Tommy died and we miss him. And he was a person.
And they were both Tommy. So I think he also kind of didn't want people thinking he had died. Yes.
Well, that's what he said too, right? Yeah. He said he was going around town and people kept telling him, oh my gosh, I thought you were dead. And yeah, being able to take that and run with it and then talk to the deceased Tommy's former employer up in Marble and, you know, Lynn Kirchner of the Homeless Assistance Center. And, you know, they just... It was really, really nice and important for me in that moment to be able to tell this man's story beyond a statistic. Mm-hmm. And that's something that the Weekly platform afforded me.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because it's not even sometimes that the Post Independent or the Aspen Daily News wouldn't do these stories.
Right.
It's that the first... when you're first trying to get that news out, those people aren't accessible. They have to kind of come to you.
Oh, yeah.
And they tend to come to you later or in response to the fact that the news coverage hasn't included them thus far. So that's really a perk of being a little slower, especially in a world that has sort of moved so into get it fast. You don't have to get it right. Even the broadcast, you know, national news has really put its foot in its mouth a few times.
Several times.
Yeah, repeatedly. Pretty much every station has made that mistake. And I've made that mistake. But I think the Soper Sun has sailed a little bit above that along with its fellow weeklies and just having a little bit more time to breathe and get you something that's been thought out. So I appreciate that one for sure. I'll lead that into a reminder. We do have three obituaries in this week's paper. We do not charge for obituaries. I don't think that's talking about price, but
I think not. I think free is free.
Yeah. Right. And that's a service we want to keep rendering. I shouldn't feel slighted when somebody doesn't send us an obituary, but I'd love people to think of us when it's time to honor somebody who's passed, and not to think that we're gonna make it difficult for you. We're gonna make it easy for you. It's a difficult time already. We just we want to be there and help in any way we can. So keep us in mind. And hopefully none of you listening right now need that anytime in the near future, right?
No, but I think it's a worthwhile point. Even this week, a dear friend of mine reached out and said, you know, all the Aspen papers have my brother's obituary, but he was a CRMS grad. We really want to get it in the Carbondale paper. We'll, of course, pay, but can you help me navigate that? And for me to be able to say, you know, as a nonprofit, that's a service that we offer the community free of charge. I've never spoken to anybody in that unfortunate situation who knew that the Soper Sun doesn't charge for obituaries. We are a nonprofit paper, and that is part of our community service effort. And it's something that I'm really proud of for the paper, quite frankly.
Me too. Yeah. So. Anything else? Anything else stand out? You got about 5 minutes.
Oh, man. Anything else stand out?
It's all coming to a close.
I was talking about crying and publicly. I'm going to cry on there. No, I mean, there's been a lot, right? And you sometimes don't even... You know, even though we're a weekly and we have a slower pace than a daily, it's so easy to just get in that moment that sometimes I don't even remember what I wrote a couple weeks ago. And when I think about, you know, reflectively, and I was in a position where I had to put together some clips and things, and you go back and you look and you're like, oh, wow. Yeah, no, I was really proud of that one. And oh, man, I remember that. That was really good, too. And it's crazy how much you accumulate even in a weekly cadence in a year and a half, 2 years or so. Right.
Yeah, you've got a couple of awards to your name, if I'm not mistaken.
I do. I'm so excited. and that was really fun, too. You know, having, I think, too, getting... even though they were second places, it was my first showing, and getting second places in best news and best business feature. If I personally were going to pick two categories that I would want to have taken something home in, those would be the two for me personally.
Oh yeah, and I got mine. I wanted that best feature photo or best news photograph.
As you should have. I was calling that an award-winning photo the moment you took it.
It wasn't an award-winning photo. It is now.
Well, I knew. Gosh darn it.
Sure.
But the entire credibility of the CPA, the Colorado Press Association, was hinging on them recognizing that photo in my mind.
It's
just
not
so
the
you
Colorado
know.
Press Association. I think it was Missouri or something like that. You switch. These are not things that the public needs to know, but some other state judged our awards.
Oh.
So that actually is not kind of a nice thing. I mean, somebody from outside and elsewhere found it viable.
See, I'm still learning things. I have awards and I don't even know.
Well, it doesn't matter. The Aspen Daily News isn't a CPA member.
That's true.
Yeah.
Is that true?
That is true.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they will be sooner
than
later.
This is your peek behind the curtain, listeners.
Right, exactly.
Of all the things that we think are important.
Yes, if you ever wanted to know, I wonder what Will and Megan banter about in the newsroom every day.
I mean, half of those things show up in the paper, right?
That's true.
We've done I'm going to miss the point-counterpoint thing.
Yeah, me too. That was fun. And those really were usually just reflections of conversations that happened organically in the newsroom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, that's why I really, really hope I am going to make a shameless plug for anyone that's listening and is like, oh, they have such a friendly banter about them. I want in on that. You have the opportunity. So we are looking for a reporter to replace me. And I can't speak more highly of the job and specifically of working with you and everybody affiliated with that organization, truly. And I think that even if I saunter in at 10:30 in the morning on a good day, being in the office is important, specifically to have those conversations, because it makes your journalism better, whether it's for story ideas in terms of generation of what we're going to copy, like cover, or in terms of how you're going to cover something that we've already agreed needs featured. So I will miss the newsroom days at the Sober Sun.
Well, you will be missed, and you will also be heckled out on your job if you're seen in Carbondale, just like I do to John Stroud and all of his
and Thomas Pippin and everyone. Yep. It was brought up to me that it's fitting that it's a scarlet A that is the Aspen Daily News logo.
That's so it's so overkill as a metaphor by such a lot. I mean, I defected to the Post Independent for 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
I cannot cast stones in this one. So anyway, those of you tuning in the middle of this wondering what the heck is going on, you've been listening to the final Everything Under the Sun on KDNK, Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. The Sober Sun is sticking around, I sure hope. Megan Tackett is not, although she's sticking around the valley, so we'll still see her. And you'll still get to read her stuff, just about court stuff in Aspen, which, you know, is fun stuff in a bleak and not fun to the people directly involved sort of way.
Right. I couldn't say no. And if I may, real quick, if you're wondering what's going to be on KDNK at 4 p.m. on Thursdays moving forward, it is a brand new show rolling out called Booked. It's going to start August 1st, and it will feature reporters like Will and myself and other authors. So, you know, there's no reason to not include KDNK on your Thursday afternoons.
So, yeah, you can't escape us. All right. And I guess that's all there is to say on this particular day.
Indeed.
Happy Independence Day.
Happy Independence Day.
And thanks for listening.